Good evening, friends. Glad to have you with us as always, as we are going to continue one final time in our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed. We are live. We're about 2.5 minutes away from it being Sunday night, or Live at 5. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share this to my page as well so that others can find our video tonight, because the more people that are able to study along with us, the better it seems that we will be. Once again, my name is Justin Reed, and I am honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190, there at the base of Short Mountain on Cannon, in Cannon County, I should say. Live at 5. Join us. Sorry, sometimes I need to speak as I talk. I'm not the best typer in the world. Live at 5. Join us. I hope that you have been having a good day. I tell you what, it has been a glorious day. It is the Lord's Day, and I can think of no better way than to honor Him a second time here, at least for me today, by praising Him, by opening His Word and studying with it. We're going to talk about something that I find to be very beneficial for the Christian. An encouragement to be not weary. But we've still got about a minute left. If you want to go ahead and share this video so others can find us in our study here tonight, that would be greatly appreciated. And the more we have, the merrier. Not because it's me that is speaking, friends, but it's been my prayer throughout this afternoon for our lesson tonight to present God's Word in simplicity and truth, make it where all could understand it. It's written in such a way. And the times when we can't understand it, either it's because somebody has polluted the word, or maybe somebody's got maybe not all their ducks in a row. But I hope that we've got everything in a row tonight here where it will benefit you. I do hope that you've been praying. We pray a special prayer of comfort for those that have lost loved ones, those that are ill, and those that are caring for those that have lost loved ones, and those that are caring for those that are ill. For we know sometimes just a simple check-in from a loved one can mean a whole lot when it seems like other things in your life may not be going the way that you would have chosen. But friends, let me remind you, God's in control, not Justin Reed, not you. No matter how high or mighty we may think we are, friends, God is always, always, always in control. I've got 5 o'clock. Let's study, shall we? Live at 5, sermon series, Be Not Weary. And to begin, I want us to read our lesson text there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 6 through 18. Paul, writing to those in Thessalonica, says, "But when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring to greatly see you." That should be through 13, by the way. "Desiring to greatly see you, even as we see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted all over in your affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. What thanks we can render to God again for you. For all the joy therewith, we joy for your sakes before God night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face, might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct your way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another, toward all men, even as we do to you, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Friends, when we talk about the phrase, be not weary, we need to remind ourselves a couple of things about the church at Thessalonica, where Paul has been. Paul has been to Thessalonica when he writes these letters to them. And the church at Thessalonica is relatively a new church. The church did have some problems there. Well, the church had no problems, but the members of the church had problems. We might want to put it that way. Some of the problems, there were some members there that believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. In other words, he had just ascended at this point about 20, 25, 30 years before, and they're thinking that he's just going to come back immediately. Well, he is coming, but he says, "The hour and day knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father himself." So there were some people who believed that at any moment, because, now watch this, they believed because Jesus Christ could return at any moment, they quit their work. They became busybodies. You know, when you have nothing, well, I don't, but when you have nothing to do and you just kind of mope around and you start getting into everyone else's business, that was the problem in Thessalonica. It was one of the problems anyway. So Paul wrote to correct this problem, and he's going to encourage them to withdraw from those who are unworthy, or withdraw from those who are disorderly, which is never an easy process, but friends, church discipline might be saved, that there might be done, their souls might be saved. And we see, friends, that the faithful are discouraged by the busybodies, the ones that are in all their business here and there, they're discouraged by it. Today, friends, there are times when we may be discouraged, times when perhaps we're discouraged by the circumstances of life. If you want to think about it as a hand of cards, what's happening to you lately has not been a nice hand dealt to you, yet you're still doing your best to persevere, to remain faithful, to do according to thus saith the Lord, although it's not easy at times, it seems, through our circumstances. Maybe at work, your job isn't working out. The stresses of the pandemic are getting to you. Family relationships can be a struggle, both in-laws, outlaws, family, all sorts of things. And some brethren just aren't faithful, and that may discourage you. It discourages me when some good, dear, faithful brethren become unfaithful, friends. And there's a great temptation to give in and quit, to give up and say, I'm going to hang my hat up. I'm no longer going to be burdened by this. But friends, remember Paul's words of encouragement: remain faithful. Tonight, I want us to think of three reasons why we ought not to be weary in well-doing. And so, in order to be weary, to not be weary in well-doing, i.e., that's doing good, friends, there's a couple of things we need to note tonight. Number one, there is a reward. If we be not weary, if we continue in well-doing, friends, then we know there is a reward for us. In fact, it is a great reward, an intrinsic reward, if you will. You know, things we do are of themselves an intrinsic reward. You go somewhere, you do something to get some kind of a benefit. Maybe you've always wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. You drive out there, and so that in and of itself is a reward that you get to see all the scenery along the way, friends. Well, let's run these references here, because it's not Justin Reed's opinion. Let's see what God has said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians 9. In verse 18, the Bible says, "What is my reward then?" Paul asks. "Verily that, when I preach the gospel," Paul says, "I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I have used not my power in the gospel." Maybe Paul was struggling with, I know the church of Corinth was struggling with being faithful, and he says, "What's my reward? What's in it for me? I preach the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ to those who know not Jesus." Look at John 13 and verse number 17, if you will. Jesus is giving his followers instructions, and he says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." If you know what God has said to do, friends, you are happy when you do them, because you know that reward for you is you're doing what God wants you to do. Go with me there to the Sermon on the Mount, though, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. We're looking at a great reward, an intrinsic reward. When we do this, we get rewarded right here, right now. We see Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto like a wise man which builded his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was firm," friends. It was founded upon a rock. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings, if you do them, you're happy. He's talking about that's like building on a firm foundation. Friends, there's a great intrinsic reward, but even more so, if we be not weary, if we continue in well-doing, there is also an eternal reward, which is the one I'm looking forward to, friends. Go with me to Matthew 5 and the 12th verse, right as Christ finishes the Beatitudes. He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Great is your reward where, Jesus? In heaven. What do we learn from that, friends? That it is an eternal reward, i.e. it will be better than anything flesh and blood can find here on this earth. Let's go to Colossians 3, though, for just a moment. Colossians 3, 24, he says in verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. That inheritance, friends, we are not going to get our eternal inheritance here. I don't want it here on this earth. I want it in heaven, because plain and simply the Bible says that this earth's going to be destroyed, and I would not want to spend forever here. In fact, that's a teaching foreign in the Bible. Go with me to the Hebrew letter, though. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Who is him? That is God. For he that cometh to God, watch this, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith in order to please God. In doing so, we must believe that God is who he said he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Let's go to the end here in the book of Revelation, if you will. Revelation 22 and verse number 12. Behold, Jesus says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. When Christ comes, that's when we receive our reward, because that will be the end. We will die, Hebrews 9:27, then we will face the judgment, whether good or bad. Look there in our final point on this one, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Friends, why should I be not weary? Why should we be not weary? Well, plain and simple, there's a great reward. We get some benefits here on this earth for following the Lord. I'm not saying we don't, but we're not living for the intrinsic, the earthly rewards, friends. We're living and working for the eternal reward. Because in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We should be not weary for that reward. Number two, friends, we should be not weary. We should continue doing good because there is a need. And just like the reward, not only is it a need, friends, it is a great need. A quote from Edmund Burke states, all that is necessary for the forces of evil to win in the world is for enough good men to do nothing. Friends, there is a need. A need that we have. A need to press on. A need to preach the word. Let's see how Peter puts it in the first epistle that Peter writes, the second chapter and the 15th verse. 1 Peter 2 and 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. With what, Peter? With well-doing. Why should we not be weary in well-doing? Because there is a need, friends, for me, for you, for all of us as Christians, to continue to proclaim the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, we often like to think of ourselves to be good folks, yes? Then let us do good. If we claim to be a good person, let us go about and do good. Go with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Luke 6:35, Jesus says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great. Ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. If we consider ourselves to be good, friends, let us do good works. Let us live the life of a Christian. Let us follow God's commands. Let's go to the very end of the book of Hebrews now. Hebrews 13 and 16. Watch how the Hebrew writer puts this. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we're filling a need, when we're out there doing good, serving the Lord. You want to make God happy? Do that. You want to make God mad? Don't do good. I think you want to make God mad. You're here with us in this online study tonight. But friends, as we think about a need, we must overcome evil with good. In fact, that's how Paul concludes Romans 12. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, friends. We must. And luckily, we can. It is not an impossible feat. It is not something that cannot be accomplished, friends, but it can. And it's possible only through Jesus Christ. Go with me there to 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. He says, finally. He's not done. But finally in that thought, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You see, friends, we should seek to overcome evil with good. That tells us there's evil out there, but it also tells us we can overcome. We need to not be weary. We need to keep trudging through living the life of a Christian here in this earth, or on this earth, I should say, because there's a great need. And when we do, we satisfy that need. We need to be a tool in the Master's tool belt. So I tell you what, there are great needs. There are great needs within the church, without the church. And there are some that I can handle all by myself, and some I need help, and some I am not skilled in at all. But if I do my part, and you do your part, and the good brother over there does his part, and the good sister over there does her part, friends, and we all come together, we all make one complete picture, trying to fulfill this need. Many hands do make light work. We need to be not weary in well-doing because there's a great need. A great need. What's the need, friends? This world is condemned. But we don't have to die condemned. Over 7.5 billion people alive at this moment, and they all have a soul. And that soul will spend eternity in one of two places, in a place of paradise with God the Father, in a place of turmoil and tormented, eternally separated. Friends, there's a great need. That's why the Great Commission, see there's that word great again, there's that Great Commission to go into all the world. And yes, that means sending people halfway across the country, and I tell you what, that means evangelizing our neighbors next door and our very own family members as well. Friends, when we be not weary, why? There's a great need. There is a great need. There's a great reward. And finally, there's an example. A wonderful example in the fact that we set a good example for others to follow. Go with me to the book of Acts. Let's consider a woman that actually has two names, Dorcas or Tabitha, depending on which way you want to call it. She's called two and the same in the text. Acts 9 and 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Do you realize how many people are mentioned in the Bible? Out of how many people were alive when the Bible was being written? So the fact that you make it in the Bible in and of itself in just one verse is amazing. But verse 37 keeps the story going. In those days, she was sick and she died. When they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was near unto Joppa, the disciples heard Peter was there, sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come unto them. Peter arose, went with them. He was come, brought him to the upper chamber, And there were widows standing by, weeping, showing the coats and the garments that she had made. Peter went forth, kneeled down, prayed, saying, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes, she saw Peter. She sat up, gave his hand, lifts her up, presents her alive. And all people there knew it. I tell you, Dorcas or Tabitha set a good example by the fact the Bible tells us of all the good works and the alms deeds she did. Now, they don't list everything, but it tells me enough. It tells me enough when this great woman died, people came to mourn her death. People came probably wearing the garments they had made for her, or she had made for them, I should say, showing off her handiwork. Maybe a quilt would have been draped over the casket she would have made, as we think today, in our modern way of doing funerals. She set a good example. Peter raises her from the dead because she could still do some good. But think about the Bible. The first we're introduced, she has two names, and she's known for her good deeds. That's a good example. We need to be not weary to set a good example. Think about Mary. Go with me to the book of Mark. That's MK. Mark 14, verses 8 and 9. Now, you'll find this passage among the gospel accounts, but we see that it's Mary. This is right before the Last Supper. Let's just read it. She takes a very costly box, an ointment of spikenard. She breaks it and pours it upon the head of Christ. And there were some that had indignation and said within themselves, why was this waste of ointment made? In fact, Judas will say in one of the gospel accounts, could we not have sold this for such and such? So he was thinking about the money, probably trying to cover up his own misfortunes and deeds. But notice Jesus says, she's done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done will be spoken of for a memorial to her. Friends, that scripture has been fulfilled in your ears this very night. We're talking about Mary. She set a good example. She did something for Christ that Simon, whose house they're in, should have done. Treated well, hospitality. Go with me to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 25. 1 Timothy 5:25, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, they that are otherwise cannot be hid. We cannot hide our good works. Now, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a big difference in letting your light shine and shining your light. Dorcas was not saying, look at me. Mary's not saying, look at me. But yet we see their example anyways. Friends, when we set an example for others, we also bring the glory to God. I just quoted there Matthew 5:16. Let us now go to Ephesians 2, if you will. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, friends, we bring God the glory because we are His workmanship. And when we are living faithful, it makes God look good. Now, when we're not living faithful, it makes us look bad. Keep that in mind. We can't make God look bad because He is God. Go to the 86th Psalm very quickly in the 12th verse, and you'll find this from David. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all of my heart. I will glorify Thy name forever. The psalmist talks about praising God with every ounce of his being. And then finally we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20. For you're bought with a price. What's that price? The death, the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, perfect God in the flesh. We're bought with that price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When we be not weary in well-doing. When we're setting an example, friends, we're bringing God the glory. So, let us set a good example. A good example. You've heard the statement, I'm sure. I believe it to be true that we are the only Bible some people ever read. Can they see Christ in you? I've also heard it this way as we move to our conclusion. Let's imagine that you were arrested right here and right now for being a Christian. And they put you on trial. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? In other words, is there enough evidence that you're living the life of a Christian, that you're being faithful to the Lord, where they'd look at him and say, I don't even open the book, I know him. I know her. They're a Christian, they're faithful to the Lord, friends. We need to be not weary. Because there's a great reward in doing good. Oh, it just makes me feel so good if I know I'm doing good, especially if it's good for God. There's a great need for us to do good. There are people who need the gospel and other things that we can help them with in the name of Christ right here and right now, friends. And we also set a good example. And in doing so, we glorify God when we do good. And at the end of the day, all I want to do is glorify God. Get one step closer to heaven and try to bring as many people with me as I can. We need to be not weary, friends. I hope this lesson helps you tonight. If you would like a copy of these notes, they're on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. Google my name, Justin, or EED Bible, found in the sermon section there, the notes, PowerPoint there for you. Would you please share this video? I believe this would be great encouragement for all who watch, especially the Christian that's struggling with something right here and right now. If you'd please share this, I'd greatly appreciate that. Very quickly, I want to invite you to 3 upcoming studies, and that will do it. These are all, as of now, scheduled to take place. Wednesday night, we'll meet once again online, final time at 6:30. Wednesday night, we'll be in Romans chapter 9 as we're climbing our way through that wonderful epistle. They'll be live 6:30 here on Facebook. Thursday night, we are scheduled to resume our study. And I know I just kind of very quickly went through the story of Mary breaking the alabaster box, because we're going to go in more in depth coming up Thursday night, 6:30, live here on Facebook. So I hope you can join that, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I. Now, a week from today, we'll be back in the building. Back in the building again, 11 o'clock. Actually, before 11 o'clock, but we'll get to that in a minute. At 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190, there at the Wood Church Christ. And you are always our welcome guest. If you've never been, why not take an opportunity this coming week and visit us? We would love to have you there with us. Once again, please share this video. I'd greatly appreciate that. And thank you for being a part of this. I have enjoyed this, and I pray this has been beneficial to you. We'll end this video the same way we've ended every lesson in our series thus far. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for watching.